Every morning from 10, 98FM's Dublin Talks keeps you up to date with COVID-19. Dublin Talks. Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
Next on the programme, there have been increased calls by the public for there to be an enforced quarantine on those arriving into Ireland. The whole travel conversation has been going on for weeks now. There is growing public concern over British tourists coming into the state and not following travel advice. Just anecdotally, I was down in Waterford on Saturday and I saw a lot of yellow regs, and they weren't northern cars, they were English cars. Saw an awful lot of them, camper vans, everything else. So what should we be doing? We already have laws in place in order to deal with people quarantining, but is it actually working? I'm joined on the line by Professor Sam McConkie from the Royal College of Surgeons, University of Medicine and Health Sciences, and President of the Infectious Disease Society of Ireland. And he's been very vocal over the last couple of days about this whole issue. And I'd like to hear from you on 6797981. What would you like to see being done with regard to travel in and out of Ireland? Professor McConkie, as I said, joins me on the line. You're basically looking for greater teeth, I suppose, to force people arriving into the state to quarantine for 14 days. Is that right?
So I'm really asking that the regulations that we already have in place, which is that everyone coming to Ireland has to fill up a form that indicates where they are going to stay in self-isolation for the following 14 days. And everyone's obliged to do that, coming into Ireland by port or by airplane. And there's a present on that form, it says there's, I think, €2,500 fine or 3 or 6 months in jail as a penalty for filling it up incorrectly. And what we're seeing now is that not everyone who's coming into our country is following the 14-day self-isolation. So unfortunately, this COVID-19 virus has really gone dramatically rampant in many, many parts of the United States of America. About 40 of the states have it's gone completely wild, like it was in New York back in February. New York has now controlled it, but many other parts, particularly in the South, Arizona, California, Houston, Florida, have really got rates of COVID-19 that are about 80 to 100 times higher than Ireland. And what I, obviously, they can, the folk who travel from there can bring it back into Ireland. And we in Ireland do not want to be now in the future where New York was at in February, March. And that's what will happen if we have free travel with no restrictions from the US. So the restrictions already exist, just they're not being followed. And my view is we need to find ways of enforcing those.
Okay, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not we should stop international flights from places like America, but it doesn't seem that the government is minded to do that. So with people travelling into the country, and with the form that we currently have, it's very easy to bypass it. All you have to do is say, I'm travelling to Northern Ireland.
Yes, there's a couple of different questions there. The one of closing our borders completely is that's exactly what has been happening in most European countries. All of the Schengen countries have actually closed their border, even to people from neighbouring countries and certainly to people from North America. And as you know, the people in North America have closed their borders to us and people in New Zealand and many other parts of Asia, you simply can't travel. So many countries have closed their borders completely. And that's obviously something that we could do. Because we're a small open economy and because we've a lot of Irish people around the world, there's a downside to closing things completely. And the alternative, which is leave the borders open, ports open, airports open, but having a rigid, strict 14-day self-isolation with some way of following people that you actually can check up on them, to me is a better and safer alternative, because it allows our industry, our business, our imports, our exports. It allows people to move here who want to come and work here or live here for a few years, or people who've emigrated abroad to come back here. So and if they do 14-day self-isolation, that could be done safely. The issue now is that some people are abusing it. Mm.
In fact, I mentioned to you a moment ago, I heard just the other day of somebody who just wrote on the form travelling to Northern Ireland, and that's all they have to do, and they don't even get a follow-up phone call.
Yeah, so I think we need to find ways of ensuring that the 14-day self-isolation is not just a sort of a whisper, oscillation of error between two people, that rather it's actually an enforced public policy that we mandate and police and ensure that it happens. Of course, my view is that policing by consent is by far the best way to do it, where the people who are the governed, if you like, and the police are cooperating and going along voluntarily with the restrictions in our country. I think we shouldn't, as a nation, be taken for a ride and saying anyone can come here and flaunt our rules and our laws. So if people are giving false information, as you've just described, I believe that form very clearly says that for false information and a false declaration on that form, that there's actually a penalty of €2,500 or 3 to 6 months in jail. So my view is we need to find ways of enforcing that. Now, how you find those people is a challenge. I did say, as you probably know, in Irish Times yesterday, that if people are not following these rules, then we actually need to follow through on those penalties. That this idea of just having penalties that you talk about but don't enforce is not a way to achieve something.
Okay, so you would like to see people who aren't observing the 2-week quarantine prosecuted, arrested, charged?
So what you've just described, Adrian, somebody falsely saying that they're going to Northern Ireland on that form, is at present, under statutory instrument from our government, an illegal act. And at present, it clearly says on that form that you can face a €2,500 fine or 3 months in jail for committing the illegal act of filling that form up incompletely or incorrectly. So the case that you described of somebody saying, I'm going to Northern Ireland, I'm not giving an address, that is a crime, as I understand it, in our country for the last several weeks. So I'm not calling for anything new. I'm saying that is already a crime. It has been a crime for several weeks. And if we're going to have effective public policy, we need to ensure that people who commit that crime are caught, and people who commit that crime are punished, and people who are thinking of committing that crime are really laid out to them clearly that this is a criminal act, and there's sanctions and consequences, which is, you know, as I said, three months on Mountjoy. That's quite sobering if people realise that that's what they're doing. It's not clear to me that the people who are writing, I'm going to Northern Ireland, are fully aware that they are committing an illegal act. So I think we need to get that message across very, very clearly. And the best way to do it, in my view, would be to actually find some people and put them in jail. And then suddenly, once that becomes clearly known, then everyone else realises, oh, this actually is a crime and we're actually serious about it. Mm. I don't think having things in the statute books and then not actually implementing them makes any sense. I can't understand the idea that you have a law about something, but then you don't follow through with it.
We've seen in other countries where at their borders they are either testing people or putting them into forced quarantine in hotels near airports. Is there a case for either of those here?
Oh, so we've already done that. So the first two people who came from Wuhan, Irish passport holders, were flown from China with the Irish government organising it, and were actually quarantined in the UK with a lot of UK citizens who came from China in the world. They flew into Bryce Norton, went by a military coach to a quarantine facility near Liverpool, and they, of course, spent their 2 weeks. They were fine, of course, and got out and walked around. So we've already done that. We in Ireland have already forcibly, with people's consent, kept them 14 days in a safe facility. So that's not something new.
But is there a case for doing that at Dublin Airport, the government taking over a couple of the hotels and putting people in there?
I think if you could get people to consent voluntarily to stay in their own home, perhaps with their family, in their own room, perhaps with their family members or friends feeding them by leaving food at the door, perhaps with an ensuite, then that could work either. So I'm not saying that everyone has to go into a government-funded, mandatory, safe hotel at Dublin Airport, because many of us have homes in Ireland and places to stay that we rent. So it doesn't necessarily have to be in a government-run facility or government-mandated. As I said, if we can continue our long tradition of policing by consent, that is much better than forcibly locking people up for 14 days.
And what about the notion of testing people as they arrive?
That's a really good question, and some countries are doing that. The challenge there is a technical one, that if somebody picked up the COVID-19 one or two days before traveling, that their test could still be negative. It can give you a false negative in the first few days when it's still incubating, if you like. So you actually might need a repeat test at day 3, day 5, day 7, and day 10. There's something called negative predictive value. How reliable is a negative test at day 3 or day 0 when you arrive into a country at predicting that you won't get COVID-19 in the following 14 days? And it's almost certainly not 100%. So while that, some countries are doing that, Austria's doing it, and some are charging for it, unfortunately, at present, we don't have the scientific information to know that that has a negative predictive value that's good enough to be useful. So that alone, I don't believe, will be adequate. You need another test at 3, 5, 7 days, and that might predict who's negative. We should be doing that study, perhaps get together with the UK, who have very similar policies, and maybe do nose swabs on everyone coming into the country and while they're in isolation, and then we could generate the data knowledge to know how good is that swab at day 0 that you're talking about and proposing at predicting those who will definitely not develop COVID-19 over the following 14 days. So the evidence base isn't there to confidently support that at this time, but it might be a way forward, it might be helpful, and certainly doing it at day 3, 5, and 7 would be helpful, because then those people, you'd know they're positive, and you know they really have to be in really strict isolation, and their contacts also on the airplane perhaps would actually have to be contacted, and they would also have to be tested and followed up.
Finally, Professor McConkie, what way do you see travel developing over the next couple of months, as long as we have this virus? The government are kind of dragging their heels over the safe countries to which we can travel. Is that the way forward, or do you see a situation where eventually we're just going to have to reopen the country and take our chances?
I think the latter is just a choice of ending up like Milan, London or New York. And those horrible pictures that we saw of hospitals overwhelmed and, you know, 1 to 5% of people dying. So the latter is, in my view, a really foolish choice that makes no sense. It's sort of choosing to go to New York and have that sort of healthcare scenario, horrible scenario, meted out on us. So what I hope we would like to see is, first of all, we get down our rates to almost elimination, where all the new cases that we see in Ireland would be incoming travellers, as has been the case in New Zealand and Korea and some other countries for a while. So we prevent all community transmission of COVID-19 in our island. That allows schools to go back, creches to go back, normal life to return within our island in a relatively comfortable way. All these discussions about, you know, pubs and bars and restaurants and creches and schools would cease if we'd no more community transmission. And then I feel that all incoming travellers from countries where there's still COVID-19 spreading would have to stay in the 14 days isolation. Whereas if you're coming from somewhere like New Zealand or China or South Korea that have controlled it, also Finland and Norway and some European countries are getting very, very close to that also. So there are a smattering of European countries that are at low rates and actually getting lower. And that's fantastic. So we'd be able to travel to those countries. Unfortunately, that doesn't include America at present. They're about 80 to 100 times higher rate than us. It doesn't include Portugal, where, you know, many of us would like to go for a holiday. So I feel that strategy of opening up to countries that are at similar elimination of community transmission of this virus is a reasonable way to allow international travel with no restrictions to other countries in a bilateral agreement where there's no transmission in that country.
All right. Professor Sam McConkie, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on 98FM.
Thanks.
And I'd like to hear from you on 6797981. You can text, WhatsApp, or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877-989898, like Mark just did.
Hi guys, Mark here, Uncle Kenny. Just listen to that professor there. I think he's away with the fairies. There's no way that the Gardaí have the manpower to enforce this law and chase people up. And the HSC certainly don't. You know, the best thing to do is stop the flights coming in, because come Wednesday or Thursday this week, the numbers will be into the 30s. They're already starting to climb already. It's just ridiculous.
Okay. Stop the flights coming in. Is that the answer? I'd love to hear from you on 6797981. You can text, WhatsApp, or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877-989898. Now, Brian, you're currently in isolation for the second time.
Yes, I am.
Okay, now, coming through the airport, I assume, was it the airport or the port or...
Oh, it was Dublin Airport both times.
Okay, both times. And coming through the airport, obviously you've to you have your form filled out.
Yes.
You've to give your name and your address and all of that.
Yep.
And they take it off you when you arrive in the airport.
Yeah, give your passport control.
Yeah, okay. So that's all done. You've said where you're staying. You are self-isolating.
Yes.
And I assume you're getting phone calls.
No, nothing.
Oh.
As I said, this is my second time doing it. I've got nothing since. I only arrived in last Saturday for the second time.
And so Saturday, so we're now Tuesday, and nothing. No phone call, no message,
nothing. Nope, nothing. But the first time, the entire 14 days, nothing.
Oh, not one phone call in 14 days?
Not one phone call at all. I had the phone basically attached to my hand because I'm very bored in my apartment trying to kill time, so I'm playing games and texting people. So no one has contacted me the entire 14 days for the first time, even though they claimed to have contacted everybody.
Right. You can, you're one person that... So you could be anywhere in the country.
I could be. I wasn't. I was exactly where I told them I was, mm-hmm. but I could have been absolutely anywhere.
And, okay, so and this time you came in through the airport on Saturday and you're being a good man, you're self-isolating, yep. doing what you've been asked to do.
Yep.
And so far, no phone calls.
No phone call at all.
So I can't even ask you what they say in the phone calls because you've never had one.
Exactly, correct.
Right. It's no wonder tourists are taking a chance then coming over here when they... the chances of them getting a phone call are slim to none.
They are. Also, there's something else I heard as I was getting on my flight from the UK coming back on Saturday, that some of the UK people are flying to Ireland to another flight from Ireland to fly to countries that the UK wasn't allowed to fly to from into Europe.
Oh, really?
Like Poland, for example.
So there's no direct flights from the UK to Poland, but there are from here?
Correct.
That's
I don't know if there's no flights. Sorry, I don't know if there's no flights, but not allowing people in. Now Hungary aren't allowing people in directly either from the UK.
Right, but they are from Ireland.
Yes, correct.
Oh,
well,
right.
I know Poland are. I don't know about Hungary.
Now, just in our news bulletin there, we heard that the government doesn't really have any plans for any mandatory isolation. You know, taking over a hotel at the airport or whatever. What do you think is the answer to this?
Well, I don't know. To be honest, I feel like I'm being a bit stupid by actually doing what I'm meant to be doing.
Mm. Because it does seem that way. And obviously, I wouldn't advise you otherwise. Please do what you're meant to do and please self-isolate for 2 weeks and all of that.
Oh, yeah. Like, my girlfriend actually got the fridge stocked up her food and everything for me. And she actually moved out down to her parents for the 2 weeks while I'm here. So I have everything I need and I can isolate in the apartment as I'm meant to. So it's not only me that's put out, she's put out as well and her parents.
Okay, okay, so you're really doing what you've been asked to do, but you're seeing yourself that, sure, if you didn't do what you've been asked to do, nobody'd be any the wiser.
Exactly.
So what is the answer then? Even if you get a phone call, this is where the whole system seems to be a bit of a joke, to be honest. Okay, you have to fill out the form, we know that, and that's fine. You fill out the form, you hand it in at the airport. Literally, the one thing that strikes me about the whole thing is you put your mobile phone number down on it and you could be anywhere.
You could be. Unless they did, and it's very easy to develop apps for anything, they could develop, look, this is a 14-day tracking app. You have to use it or you can't come in.
Would you be comfortable with that?
Yes.
Because you're doing what you're meant to do.
100%. I also downloaded the app within an hour of coming out and installed it, as I think everybody should.
But this is the COVID tracing
app.
Yes. Actually, I've just noticed it seems to have slowed down a little bit of the amount of people adopting it. So, like I said last week on the program, that app is no harm done by installing it.
Exactly.
People are worried about privacy and all that. But okay, so you would like to see something like an app being mandatory for you to install it on your phone, and it can track your whereabouts, basically, and make sure you stay where you say you were staying for 2 weeks.
Yes, it's a case. It's not too difficult to do, and it's going to save lives. If you want to say no, okay, sorry, you can't come in.
Yeah, all right. That's ridiculous. That in your first 2 week isolation, not one phone call in the 2 weeks. I know my own parents came into Ireland, having been in Australia, and they got two phone calls, I think, over the 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But again, like that, how are you? How are you both feeling? Everything okay? Grand. Thanks. That was it.
Yeah. Even a text message, they could send out automated text messages.
Yeah,
just to show people that it actually, look, we are connected to you. We do know that you're there.
Yeah, but they're not really watching you. They don't know where you are. They're just taking you at face value and trust.
Yep.
All right, Brian, thanks very much indeed. 6797981 is our telephone number. In fact, somebody just texted in, Brian. Fair play to that chap. I wish everyone was like him. But the reality of it is that everyone isn't like you, unfortunately, what? Brian. Let's go to Geraldine. You're on 98 FM. Hi, Geraldine.
Hi, Adrian.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Geraldine, you want to see a stop on flights from countries like America, do you?
Yeah, 100%. The world's highest rate of coronavirus. Like, it doesn't make sense. And then they don't want the likes of us leaving our own country. And it's nothing about, in case we bring coronavirus back into the country. It's all about greed and money. They want us to build their own economy here and spend their money here.
Hmm.
And prices have gone through the roof, like, everywhere.
Yeah, well, that's true. We talked about that last week on the show.
Yeah.
So, you would like to see particularly America, because that, as you said, is the worst spot. And in terms of quarantine for people that actually come into Ireland, do you think we should have safe countries, or do you think the airport should be just shut down?
It's hard to know. Like, I don't think it's going to. I mean, you can't lock the airport from bringing everybody into the country. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm. If they're checked as they come into the country and quarantine, but then again, the people that's going to come into the country are not going to be able to quarantine for 2 weeks and then go back and maybe they have to quarantine in their own country for another 2 weeks. So it's impossible, really. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Okay, but certainly for the time being, a ban on flights from the States.
Definitely, and, you know, the likes of Brazil and other countries that have high rates, like high risk.
Although that's just one example you mentioned, we don't have any direct flights to Brazil. So somebody could be coming from London or Paris on a flight, but they actually originated in Brazil. And that's another part. That's how difficult it is to control travel. Let's have a listen to this WhatsApp voice note from Niall, who believes we should be following the lead of some other countries.
Hi, Adrian. Niall here. Just a quick thing on the self-isolation. I have a friend, Irish guy, who was home visiting his family recently. He went back to Sydney in Australia, and he basically had to isolate for 2 weeks, like 14 days. Some security kind of guy met him at the airport, and he was brought to a hotel, all paid for 14 days, and he had to stay in the room. The only thing he was allowed to do was make video calls to family and friends. All his food and everything was provided, and after the 14 days he could return home to his wife and kids. So that's a real proper strict way of enforcing it, making sure that nothing can be spread, or make sure that people are following what they should be doing. So, just thought I'd let you know. Cheers.
All right, thank you very much indeed, Niall. Billy, you're on 98 FM. How are you, Billy?
Not bad, Adrian. I was on to you about this a few weeks ago, right?
Mm.
This is what I suggested to you, and I still suggest that. And it's not rocket science, and we have the manpower, and it can be done, right? What I said to you was, all European countries, we lock the bubble, all the European countries, right? We don't allow anybody in. Every European country doesn't allow anybody in from outside of the EU. That means anyone from Australia, China, Japan, Canada, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Oman, Libya, Syria, I can go on, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody under any circumstances is allowed. And even we should ban UK as well, because they're not really part of Europe anymore. They won't be in January anyway, but they've signed off, they're leaving. So we owe them nothing, and any other European countries owe Britain nothing. So that, if we do that, we should be okay. And anybody coming over here from Europe that has been in any of the affected countries like America or Brazil should be made quarantine straight away. Leaving the airport under strict security, going to the nearest hotel. And what Sam McConkey says, some of the stuff doesn't make sense. He says some people that live here could go down to their house. That wouldn't happen in Australia, Canada, America. If you were brought in food, That's not allowed. They're not. They won't let you pass the airport exit with it, in case it infects their crops and stuff like that. And it's the same with this disease. Nobody should be should only be allowed to leave Dublin Airport through the exit and straight into isolation. Not going down to where they live, because so many people could they affect on the way down on the bus, the train, or whatever.
And that's the one thing I've always wondered about this quarantining thing. And in fact, even Professor McConkie said, "Look, people have houses."
That's rubbish.
But like I said, if you think of somebody like my own parents coming back from Australia, and they went to their house, which is, what, half an hour from Dublin Airport. It seems a bit wasteful to throw them into a hotel.
Well, but you say it seems a bit wasteful, but it doesn't anything, because if they infected the taxi driver, say, on the way home, and then he went home and infected his kids, and it's a knock-on effect, it's dominoes, and then you're into your things. And like you see, the numbers are gone up. That's because we've opened our airport to flights outside the European Union. I think we'll be perfectly fine if Europe, all of Europe locks down and does the above, like I said, and like I'm just about to say now again, but obviously it's not. And, like, who in their right mind would let anybody in from Dallas, most affected part of the world, and New York and stuff?
I know, it does seem bizarre, and it's the same conversation that we were having in March about people coming into Ireland from Italy. It's like we didn't learn any lessons at all, and we're allowing people in from places like Dallas. If all of those people who are coming in from Dallas are self-isolating for 2 weeks, that's grand. But you have to wonder, are they all self-isolating?
No, they're not. And Adrian, our image as well has been, I heard on the radio your show the other day that, like, a lot of the Americans have gone down to Carlaire and stuff, and they're being refused in restaurants because obviously they're worried, as restaurant owners, about where they're coming from. And rather than damage our image, like, it's not really nice. I know it's 100% right what they're doing, the restaurant owners refusing them, but it's not right. It's damaging our image. So let's put a stop to it and leave a non-EU travel until March, and just leave people come in from any European country, providing they haven't been in the affected regions. And it can be stopped. We have the manpower. If we do it properly and get people off their ass, get them up in the airport, not the police, revenue, everyone else, HSE. There's a lot of pen pushers and HSE sitting on their ass.
But it seems, Billy, and listening to that first caller, he's actually isolating at the moment after coming home from the UK, and this is his second time doing it, and he didn't get one phone call the first time round.
No, sure, it doesn't surprise me, Aidan, even if there was no conversation. You walk through that airport, there's people coming in left, right and centre, there's no customs there, it's a joke. It's a joke. Thankfully, we're from security point of view as well, it's a joke. Like, you know, you wouldn't know who's coming into this place. They're coming really nearly here, and I don't expect any different, you know. It's a disgrace. There's people sitting on their ass now, the HSC, and people sitting on their ass in revenues, and people sitting on their customs doing nothing. They should be out there now protecting us. They should be, what's it called, just people everywhere in the airport, people everywhere. It should be saturated with people taking you, pulling you in, where you have to be, and looking at your passport to see where your visas are. If you've been in Brazil or any of them, you're not coming in until you self-quarantine, and it's done right. It's a joke. As I said, in August, I hope I'm wrong, I think you're looking at 10, 15, 20,000 deaths. I really do.
God, that's a scary prospect.
Yeah, but sure, but Adrian, Dallas is really infected, so is Brazil, and they're coming in here, so what would you
expect? They're not coming in huge numbers now.
But all it takes is one person to spread it to another and to another. It's like a domino effect, Adrian.
All right, Billy, stay there for 1 second. 6797981 is our telephone number. You can text, WhatsApp, or do what Carmel did and send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 989898.
Hi, Adrian, it's Carmel here. I just think that the government should just make a decision and say people are not allowed to travel to certain countries, and that way then people can get their money back from the airlines, instead of this, oh, we let you know on the 20th. We still don't know what way we are. People are in limbo land, and then the quarantine when you come back, That's putting an awful lot of people. Sorry I can't come to the phone. I'm in work. Thanks, Adrian. Really enjoy the show.
Thank you very much indeed, Carmel. Appreciate that. 6797981 is our telephone number. You can text, WhatsApp, or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 98 98 98. This is from Emma.
Getting the phone callers.
Adrian, I got called. I went away the first weekend of April. My ex had the kids. I went to my fiance in Holland, and I got called in the 2 weeks. They called me. I landed back on a Sunday, and I got called on the Tuesday and the following Tuesday. They asked, have I any symptoms? Am I feeling okay? Am I quarantining? Yada, yada, yada. So they did call me, but that was back in April. Maybe now there's more people traveling. They don't have time to call. I don't know. But my fiance travels every single week and has never been called either. He has a Dutch passport.
All right. Sean sent me this message. He was in China during all of this whole lockdown thing, and says their system is one to be explored.
Actually, I just want to say that I was living in China during all this, and they had a green code and a yellow code and a red code for everywhere that they go. They couldn't go anywhere without it. And that was their way of policing it. You couldn't get into the supermarkets or anywhere unless you had a green code, which means you're okay. Yellow code meaning that you can... you have to quarantine for 2 weeks, and red is self-isolation. That's the way it should be really policed over here. Everyone's saying that the COVID app is great. I mean, it is better than nothing, but it's nowhere near what Asia have, nowhere near.
I know, but I've seen the system that they have in China, Sean, and that's real Big Brother stuff. I don't think people would tolerate it here. I really don't. And yes, it works very effectively, but they watch your every move. And I don't think people are ready for that here. Somebody sent a message a second ago. Adrian, nothing is making sense anymore. Falcha Ireland are advertising on Sky, says Jackie. The ads that we see on Sky here in Ireland are different to the ads that they would see on Sky in the UK. So that's aimed at an Irish market, Jackie. Unless you happen to have been in the UK and saw an ad for Falcha Ireland, but I wouldn't have thought so. Now, our next caller, I'm putting through a voice disguise to protect her identity. And she works for an airline and is claiming that... we're calling you Rachel. We've disguised your voice, Rachel.
Yep.
Tell me, you work for an airline and you're terrified working.
Yeah, no, we're all, it's not just myself, it's cabin crew as a whole. I work for one of the airlines in Ireland, and I know both airlines have done big campaigns about the air filters and how clean the cabin is and deep clean. That's fine leaving Dublin, it's absolutely fine, but the problem is, when you're going out of Dublin and you go to London or you go to Malaga, Faro, any of these places, they're not cleaned at the outstations. And our company have said, oh, well, it's deep clean, so it lasts 24 hours. Like, that's not correct. If a passenger...
Okay, so what you're telling me is,
yeah,
with the airline that you work for,
yep,
the plane, if it's setting out from Malaga first thing this morning, will have been deep cleaned leaving Dublin.
Yep.
But on its return leg from Malaga back to Dublin, it's not being cleaned after the first passengers get off.
No, it's not being cleaned. They got rid of cleaning to, I won't tell you when, and they never brought it back during COVID. And staff have been told this week that it's not coming back, that it's not being deep cleaned, it's not being cleaned at aid stations. Like, they take the bins, and cabin crew do our best to take rubbish off people, but people are stuffing it into the seat pockets. And I know it's been spoken about, but like, these flights aren't empty. They're busy. They are busy. And like, I've done...
Where have you flown to recently?
I've been a lot of London's, Malaga, Faro, and now there's not as many people going down to Spain or Portugal as there should be at this time of the year. But the Londons I've done, Adrian, there's been 120, 130 passengers on them, and they're not essential travellers.
Mm.
They're going onwards, or they're coming in from afar. And also we have a lot of people who are going up to the north as well, and we're trying to give them the passenger locator forms, and they're refusing to sign them. Now, it's nothing got to do with the cabin crew. We just hold our hands up and say, no, we have to give you these forms. That's all we do. We've done our job.
Mm.
It's you deal with customs or immigration or whoever when you get off the plane. But we've had people refuse to sign them. because they're like, we're going to the north. We don't have that up there. We don't have to fill these in. So,
and that was something I said only a while ago, that I've known of people to do that who don't live in the north, but just say they do. And it's not legally enforceable on people who live in the north. So in terms of working as a cabin crew, are you nervous every day going to work?
Absolutely. Like, we're all terrified. It's not just me. It's myself and my colleagues. Like, we only got given masks in May to wear. And I know myself, I was flying through all of March and all of April when it had gone nuts out there with COVID, and we were given nothing, and we asked to wear masks, and our particular company said no. Then they couldn't provide us with hand sanitizer, they couldn't give us gloves. Obviously they were very hard to get, but with such a big airline you would expect them to have it. So then we were rationed one pair of gloves per flight, which, you know yourself, once you touch stuff you need to change your gloves. So it was just one big mess. But now the fact that we questioned why were we not getting cleaned down route, like the bins were taken, that's it. And we questioned this, and then what we got back from the company this week was, oh no, well, they're deep cleaned in Dublin and that sterilised it for 24 hours. But it doesn't. If you have someone coming in from Dublin even, if they've travelled or they're travelling back and they get on with COVID, and they're touching the seat pocket, they're touching the tray pocket, they get up, they go to the toilet, they're leaving traces everywhere. And then the people who are coming back in then from, say, Spain or Europe, are getting in, sitting down in the seat, thinking that these planes have been deep cleaned down in Malaga, when they haven't, and they're touching that same area. Like, it doesn't make sense for us as cabin crew, or, like, even for putting our passengers in danger. Like, I just wanted your listeners to know that if they do get on a flight, that's what they need to expect. It's not some magic air filter. Yeah, the air filter helps, but if someone is sitting in your seat who has COVID, that's not cleaned. So they need to take their own precautions.
Okay, now obviously wearing face masks is mandatory on all airplanes.
Yeah.
That applies to you as well. Is it mandatory for you to wear them?
It's mandatory for us to wear them.
Does that make you feel even a little bit safer?
Oh, it does now. Like, I used to, like, probably laugh at me, but I used to cry going to work in March and April until these face masks. I used to cry, and like, my husband and my kids would be like, oh, you're okay. But I was terrified, but I had to go in. I had to do the job. Like, the amount of sick leave that was happening, and even when one case came in March and April, then the whole, like, the sick leave within the company was huge, because they had to quarantine then for 2 weeks if they were on an aircraft with a confirmed case. So literally all the cabin crew were dropping like flies for about 2 months. And we had to go in and do our job, but we didn't have face masks, and people were thinking they were getting on an airplane and not thinking, and be like, oh yeah, thank you so much for coming to get us, to bring us home. And we're standing there going, please get out of my face, please try and stay 2 meters. But I don't know, people just seem to lose their sense when they do get on an airplane. Like, I think they were some were so happy to be getting home and to be able to get on a flight to bring them home. And like, it was great to be able to repatriate people, but now, as time has gone on, it's not essential travelers. We're not repatriating people.
Yes, like, it's people taking their chances and going to their apartments in Spain and whatever. And what you're saying is that the flights to places like Spain, whilst they're not as busy as they normally would, there is a sizable amount of people on them.
Oh, yeah, but about 100, 110 people, and that's twice a day.
That's a lot of people. Like, that is a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. And the London flights as well, there's 3 or 4 Londons a day, and they're all busy. They're all extremely busy.
It's awful to hear that as a worker, that you are a nervous wreck going to work every day. That's dreadful.
Yeah, it really is. Very, very scary. It's a scary situation that you think if they just employed cleaners or some, obviously they need on-time flights or passengers would be giving out, they don't have that time anymore. There's only about a 20-minute window to get the plane back to Dublin. So they don't have the time built in to do it.
That is really that is shocking, I have to say.
Yeah.
All right, Rachel,
yeah.
I appreciate you sharing
no
that with us.
Thanks
very much indeed.
Just to get it out there.
All
thanks
right.
a million.
Thank you.
Bye.
There you go. So the plane is clean when it's leaving Dublin, but it doesn't get cleaned before it comes back to Dublin. Paul sent us this WhatsApp voice note.
Hi, Adrian. My name is Paul. We can let everyone come in from all these countries, America, everything, but yet we can't send our children to school. This government is an absolute joke. Special needs children out of school since March, as are all kids out of school. They can't go to school, but we can welcome everyone else back into the country. Absolute disgrace.
All right, Paul. Thanks very much indeed. I have to leave it at that.
Every morning from 10, 98FM's Dublin Talks keeps you up to date with COVID-19. Dublin Talks. Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.